That's 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 through 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some.
Good morning. Glad to see everyone here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we're so happy that you're here, and we hope that you'll be with us any opportunity that you have. Today is our Digging Deeper Sunday. We have one per quarter. This is our one for pretty much our last quarter of this year. Looking forward to this study or these studies today. This morning we're going to be talking about Paul, a wise master builder. And tonight we're going to be talking about the rich man, a worldly business builder. But as we think about, as our theme for the year has been step by step, brick by brick, building for eternity, which is behind our ideas for these Digging Deeper Sundays as far as great and not so great builders of the Bible. As we think about building, friends, we look at Paul, and indeed we see in Paul a wise master builder. Let me ask this, as we consider Paul as a wise master builder, what is it that makes one a master of a particular or in a particular field? As we look at Paul, two things really jumped out at me concerning this particular phraseology concerning Paul being a wise master builder. We see one, experience, don't we? Paul had a tremendous, even before he became a Christian, he had a tremendous wealth of experience in service to God, at least as he saw it. And then as he became a Christian, the things which he suffered just added to that experience. But the thing I want us to focus on today, as we'll get to here in just a moment, is two of the greatest things I believe that it takes to make one a master in a particular field is experience, and two, it's focus. Focus. And friends, that's what drives us and what drives folks to become a master of a particular field or craft. Now, as I said, experience, we know, comes with years, and Paul had that, as we see as he continues through his life. But focus, on the other hand, is a matter of concentration and determination. That scripture that Mike read for us just a moment ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 22, we see just within these few verses what made Paul such a master as he built upon the foundation that Christ had laid. He made himself all things to all men that he might by all means save some. He knew that going into any given situation that what worked last week may not work this week. What worked with this person over here may not work with this person over here. There were certain things he was going to have to say to a Jew to get them to understand the concept of Christ and his and the messianic prophecies, and that Christ was indeed the Son incarnate, God incarnate, that if he said those same things to a Gentile, they're not going to have a clue what he's talking about. And so that's what Paul's telling us there in 1 Corinthians 9, 19 through 22. And friends, a lot of that comes with experience. But also notice in these verses, Paul's focus. The central focus on all of this was what? Christ. God. He remained focused upon his cause. Now, preparing for this study, I asked a couple of professionals in their field, as well as making some speculation in other places as well, concerning what happens when one loses focus. I asked Ashley, who is a nurse, what happens when a person loses, when a nurse loses focus, or a doctor for that matter, what happens when they lose focus? Friends, if a nurse loses focus, things can be overlooked, as Ashley put it, mistakes can be made and patients can die. A doctor loses focus while he has a patient on the table, patients can die. Ask Brother Don Patton, what happens if a bullfighter loses focus? And Brother Don said, well, he won't be a bullfighter anymore. He went on to say, well, he might lose focus for a minute, but he'll find it again real quick. But you get the point. Bullfighter loses focus, it's not going to be a pretty sight. If a fighter loses focus concerning his opponent for just one split second, it often costs him the fight. Friends, a Christian loses focus, and he'll find himself lost. And so I want us, for the remainder of our time, to look at Paul and his focus and how that made him a wise master builder. And friends, an example that you and I can emulate. An example that we can follow so that we too can continue to build upon the foundation that Christ has laid. His focus made Paul a wise master builder. We read about Paul's experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, don't we? He's tried, he's gone through everything imaginable. He's been beaten for preaching about the cross, for preaching about Christ. He's been stoned and left for dead. He's been shipwrecked. He tells us he's been hungry. He's been destitute of the proper clothing that he needed at times. He worried about his own country. He worried about his fellow brethren and Jews. He worried about the Gentiles and their salvation. He worried about the churches on a daily basis. And through all of that, even though all that gave him all that experience, we see one central thing. His focus is upon God. Paul was a really great builder because of that focus. Number one this morning, I want us to notice the focus of God in his life. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at a lot of passages in 2 Corinthians. But look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I want you to read with me verses 3 through 8. 3 through 8. Look at his focus here upon God and what God does for him and us as Christians. Paul says, and I'm reading the King James Version, the American Standard, where we're going to read in the King James, where you read consolation, the American Standard and other translations have it comfort. Okay? Read with me here. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation, comfort, also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation or comfort and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye also be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. And so we see here, this focus of God was able to do what for him? Comfort him. Comfort him. Friends, when you are having maybe repairs done on your car or your house, or maybe you're having a house built, I'm sure there are many times that, we may lose sleep worrying about, well, are they going to find this, or are they going to do that, or whatever the case may be. But when you have a master builder, one who has been doing this for years and he has a great reputation, you're able to take comfort in that, aren't you? When you think of God and how He operates and what He does for His people, why not find comfort? How did God treat Abraham? How did He deal with Isaac? What about Jacob? What about Israel, for that matter? He gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. Now they were stiff-necked. They didn't do everything that God had told them to do, but did God keep His promise? He did, didn't He? When they did right, they could take comfort in God, and so we see this focus upon God provided Paul and other Christians, as we see there in chapter 1, 3 through 8, comfort. Friends, God comforts us at any hour of the day or night. We can be struggling with something at 3 a.m. in the morning, and we can hit our knees and go to prayer in God, and oftentimes when we do that, we immediately feel better. Knowing that we can trust in God and that He will hear our prayers and answer them as He sees fit. And friends, not only that, but you notice there in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 8 that we are able to comfort others because we are comforted. And we're able to do that because of our focus, as Paul shows us, that focus being upon God. How do you suppose, we talked about that experience in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 that Paul was able to gain, how do you suppose that Paul was able to endure all those things and not waver? Do you suppose he had just a little bit of comfort in knowing that God was by his side? Because he had focused and placed his focus there upon the Almighty? And friends, that's one thing, this comfort because of the focus of God in our lives, this comfort is one thing the world does not know. They cannot know. I want you to look with me at a couple of things. Turn with me to Hebrews 13 for a moment. Hebrews 13. Look with me at verses 5 and 6. Friends, we have comfort through the Word of Christ. The Hebrews writer, I believe Paul, says this, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee." Verse 6, "So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear that what man shall do unto me." Friends, how could we say that? How could we echo the words of the Hebrew writer? I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I shall not fear what man shall say about me. I shall not fear about any of these things. Why? Because I have comfort provided by God so long as He is the focus upon what I build. As He is the central focus of my life, I don't have to worry about anything else. We can take comfort in that. Look with me as well at Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Look what Paul says here. And notice the strong language that he uses. "For I am persuaded," is the first phrase. "I am persuaded." Now friends, you think about that for a moment before we read the rest of the verse. What does it mean to persuade? It means that you present a strong case or argument, if you will. And if you are able to persuade someone, oftentimes when they are persuaded, there's no going back, is there? That's what he says here. He has been persuaded. He has been convinced so thoroughly, he's not going back. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Now think about what he says here. As we read verse 39, it'll bring it a little bit more into focus. Death, life, angels, principalities, governments, powers, has to do with governments, nor things present, nor things to come. Nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Rome, you can do whatever it is that you want to do to me. You can take my head, you can take my life, you can beat me. Whatever you want to do, Paul says, you can't separate me from the love of God. See the comfort there. Even in prison, where was Paul's focus? It was on God. He continued to focus upon the Christ. Nothing can separate us from God except myself. Number two. We look at Paul and his focus and what made him a wise master builder. He focused upon God, and in focusing upon God, friend, he focused upon the new covenant. Again, I believe the Hebrews letter was written by Paul. And you look at the entirety of the Hebrews letter, and the entire course of that letter is for the Hebrews writer, Paul, to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ as compared to the old law. And he's showing the superiority of the new as compared to the old. And so you see that focus again being upon the new covenant. You go back to our scripture that we read at first this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And he talks about there. Let's look at it again. Look at 1 Corinthians 9. Beginning there in verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, talking again about the old law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. What does Paul mean by that? Does that mean that he went back, something that he expressly wrote against in the book of Hebrews, that he went back to serving the law of Moses? No, that's not what that means. So what does it mean when Paul says, as to those under the law, I became as under the law? You see, there were certain feasts and things that the Jews observed that Paul, as a Christian, could still show observance to those things, but not be in that as far as the worship of the old law goes. They could still, do these certain things and not be in worship to God in these areas. And so he would do these things. Present himself, he would tell them, as he does to the Corinthians. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, right? And so he would do that so that he could gain them and show them and talk to them about the old law and how that was to bring us to Christ. But the entire time, continue reading there. Those that are under the law, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law, to God, but under the law, to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He's going to find common ground. But the entire time, where is his focus? Upon God and upon the new covenant. He wasn't going to lose that focus. You look at Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. Ananias is hesitant to go preach and tell this Saul of Tarsus about Jesus Christ and about what he needs to do to be saved. He asks God, do you know who this man is? And God simply says to him in Acts 9:15, Ananias, go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. And I'll show him what great things he has to suffer for my name's sake. He was a chosen vessel, Paul was, in order to take the new covenant to the Gentiles. His focus was upon the new. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4, read with me verses 1 through 7. Look at his focus here upon the gospel. 2 Corinthians 4, beginning in verse 1, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure," what treasure? "The gospel, the new covenant, in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." Earthen vessels. Friends, that's you and I. That was the apostles. Before the written word was completed, the treasure was in the apostles to deliver the word of God, the gospel, the new covenant. You see, friends, Paul knew that the will of God meant more than his will. And he understood that the new covenant is a ministry of the entire life. Christ can transform us into his image, Romans 12, 1 and 2. But friends, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant was a contrast of the glory of the new. And again, you see that in the book of Hebrews. The focus was to be upon the new covenant. One of the great things, number three, that made Paul a wise master builder. He was focused upon God. He was focused upon the new covenant. Number three, he was focused on eternal realities rather than the physical. He was focused on eternal realities. Look at 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17. Look what he says here, and then consider 2 Corinthians chapter 11. "For our light affliction, which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Now friends, who of us sitting here this morning would say being beaten 5 times with 40 stripes save one is a light affliction? How many of us sitting here this morning would say that being beaten with cane, rods, 3 times with no such restrictions was a light affliction? How many of us would say this morning that being stoned and left for dead, having broken bones no doubt, being there bruised and battered, being left for dead, how many of us would say that was a light affliction? How many of us would like to go through this winter having nothing but one t-shirt and maybe a pair of jeans or a pair of shorts? No coat? Maybe not enough food to eat. How many of us will say that's just a light affliction? Paul, what in the world are you saying here in chapter 4 and verse 17? "For our light affliction." How do you call what he goes through? Worrying about robbers, worrying about his own countrymen in perils of the sea. He's been shipwrecked 3 times. Spent an entire day and night in the Mediterranean. Cool waters, by the way. But that's a light affliction. In view of eternity, it is. Friends, when we put things into perspective, as Paul obviously does there in chapter 4, verse 17, and we compare the things that we may suffer today to the glories of eternity in heaven, these things are nothing. And when we consider maybe the things that we suffer today, to what things might be like in a devil's hell if we don't make things right. The things that happen today are nothing. But Paul's not looking at hell, is he? He's looking at heaven. And he sees the reward there. And he says, these things that I go through today, they're nothing. They're light. It's a light affliction. Friends, if we knew everything that was waiting for us, we wouldn't want to be here on this earth. We'd be ready to go right now. You see, there's a reward to those that are faithful. Dust to dust was never applied to the soul. That only concerns the body. Well, friends, we have something to which to look forward. But we, as Paul has done, we have got to focus upon eternal realities and not be worried so much about the physical. That's why the scripture we read a few moments ago, that we were to be content with whatsoever things that we have, that focus being upon God, we'll be all right with what we've got. Let's focus upon the eternal. Number four and finally. He was focused upon God. He was focused. He was focused on the new covenant. He was focused on eternal realities. Number four, he's focused on working with God. Focused on working with God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look with me at verses 1 through 10. He's focused on working with God. 2 Corinthians 6, 1 through 10. We then, as workers together with Him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain, for He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Was anything going to stand in the way of Paul doing the work of God with God by his side? Not a thing. You look at everything that Paul mentions there. And when you look at chapter 11, and that's a reiteration of everything he's already said there in chapter 6, 1 through 10. All these perils, all these things. He says we can continue with this work because God is by our side. He's focused on working with God. Look at the nature of His work. Look at chapter 5 of verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Why was Paul so focused upon his work? Friends, because it is the power of God unto salvation, the gospel is. And as it is the power of God unto salvation, friends, it has the power to change men's lives. Look at verse 17 of chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. The gospel, friend, of Christ. The work of Christ. Working with God has the power to change lives. To save souls. How did Paul feel about this work? How did he feel about it, in a manner of speaking, having it thrust upon him as it was? After all, God said he was a chosen vessel. He was one that on the road to Damascus, he was on a mission to carry out something of a completely different nature. The people at first were afraid of him. Luckily, Barnabas came to his rescue. How did Paul feel about it? And his life in Christ? Look at Philippians 4, verse 4, a verse that we're very familiar with and sometimes we sing. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Everything that this man suffered, his body being racked with pain, being filled with scars, didn't matter to him, did it? Where was his joy? It was in Christ. Friends, those that become masters of any field, they have to enjoy their work. Or else they're not going to strive to become masters in that field. Paul enjoyed his work. Regardless of the physical consequences it brought to his body, he loved his work. And he was indeed a wise master builder whom we ought to strive to emulate every day in our lives, in our focus upon God, in our focus upon the new covenant, and our focus on eternal realities and our focus on working along with God and spreading His gospel. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our songbooks. Let's be ready to sing the invitation song here in just a moment. Friends, Paul's focus, if Paul were able to stand before you here this morning, he'd want you to hear, as he told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he'd want you to hear the simple, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And friends, that's part of what made Paul, again, such a wise master, a great master builder in the faith of Jesus Christ. There were no frills. There wasn't anything fancy about how he preached the gospel. He didn't come with man's wisdom. He simply told you the truth. And friends, whatever dealings we have, isn't that what we want? Just tell me the truth about what's going on. Friends, we want you to know the truth this morning. And so, friend, the truth is, if you're here this morning and you've never put Christ on in baptism, you've never obeyed His gospel, friend, you need to know the truth. As Paul would say, we would not have you ignorant. You're lost. You are in danger. For if Christ comes again and you have not been baptized, you have not put Him on in baptism, you have not come in contact with His blood, and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, here's what you will hear. Depart. I never knew you, ye that work iniquity. On the other side of that though, friend, if you will believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that He came to this earth and He bled and died for you, if you'll believe that with all your heart, repent of your sin, confess Him before men and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can hear these words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter ye into my Father's glory. But friend, which will it be? If Christ were to come back today, what do you want to hear? What would you hear? Friend, if you're here this morning having obeyed the gospel, where do you find yourself this morning? Have you lost focus? If you've lost focus, friends, and you haven't put God at the center, you haven't focused upon Him and upon His covenant and upon the eternal realities and upon working with Him, it may be, friends, that you look around right now and you find yourself lost. Would you be saved? Friends, you're subject to the Lord's invitation. Would you join with Paul this morning and strive to become and make yourself a builder after Him and follow His example and that focus? Friends, if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, come right now while we stand and while we sing.